أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful, the praise, the thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we pray, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سِيَدْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ سِيَدْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. The subject of our khutbah is something that our society encourages as a means to get ahead. In relating the successes, quote unquote, of those persons who have achieved or amassed great wealth, specifically with regards to this society, it is somewhat of a badge of honor and seen as a prerequisite character trait in some circles to adopt this mentality, and that mentality being one of backstabbing and grave digging. Many of the quote-unquote men who built this country were ruthless. And often did whatever they could to outstrip their rivals, stab them in the back, or lay traps for them in order that they may somehow achieve an advantage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us that good things, in this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's talking about the produce. Good things come from good lands by the permission of its Lord. And that which is bad produces very little at the expense of much effort. Thus do we explain the ayah, the proofs, the signs for those people who give thanks. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, truly Allah is full of bounty to mankind, but most of them are ungrateful. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, specifically, we are relating or expounding upon this hadith in which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the believers, beware the evil from one you've been good to. It is this hadith that the phrase, no good deed goes unpunished, comes from. For the kafir, this may be the reason why they shy away from good deeds. But the Muslim knows and understands that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always in effect. Allah is always in effect. No one can escape His gaze, and none can flee from His decree. Therefore, the Muslim understands that his reward for doing good is with the one whom he did good for, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do good to be thanked by whoever is the beneficiary in this dunya. That is not the reason. We are not looking for ajr from them. Often we are reminded in the Holy Quran of many, many people, even like in Surah Yasin. اتَّبِعُوا مَنَ الَّذِي لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُحْتَدُونَ. Obey the one who does not ask you for a reward, and they are rightly guided. That means that they know better. They're doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you like it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm looking for Him to say thank you. I'm looking for Him to give me a reward. For He is ash-shakur, the one who appreciates. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we can never expect the human being to be grateful. As the scholars say, if they are not loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not expect them to be loyal to you. Thus, bi'idhnillah, we come to a cautionary tale that some scholars have used as a means to warn the believers when it comes to backstabbing and grave digging. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it was not very long ago that there was a kingdom in which the people gathered to dig a well, hoping to find water and relief. But no matter how deep they went, there was no water to be found. So after much sweat and tears, they abandoned it. And so disgusted were they by their failure that they didn't even bother covering it up, nor even placing a barrier around it to warn a passerby. And it was because of their disregard that one night, a jeweler making his way to his shop passed by this area and, unbeknownst to him, fell headlong into the hole. To make matters worse, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, a snake stalking its prey fell in on top of him. Then a monkey who missed his swing fell right in with them. And to all of their horror, soon came a lion trying to leap over the gap and missed. And thus all four were trapped together inside the deep hole. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as fate would have it, the lion was more concerned with his escape than eating his companions. And the snake bid her time, patiently waiting to see the outcome. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for them, a tourist so happened to be passing by, and he noticed that this hole would make a good photograph. So he neared the hole, decided to peep inside it, and found its occupants looking up at him, desperate for help. At first he was afraid to rescue wild beasts, but after a moment he thought that he could use the good deeds. And he remembered what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, "Whoever works righteousness, man amila salihah, whether they be male or female, if they are a believer, then surely we will give them a good life in this world, and we shall certainly pay them a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do." So, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the tourist went in search of something to aid in his rescue and soon found a rope that would be perfect for the task. As soon as he dropped it into the hole, the monkey scrambled up. He lowered it again, and the snake slithered to the top. Once more he dropped the rope, and the lion somehow managed to latch on, anchor itself, and climb its way out of the hole. When the beast remained by the side of the well, the tourists began to be afraid. But Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the lion to speak to him, saying, "O servant of Allah, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repaying your kindness with evil. So do not fear any harm from us." So the tourist relaxed and went to toss the rope again down in the well for the jeweler. Right before he was about to do so, the monkey said, "O servant of Allah, man is ever ungrateful. Beware of giving him aid. You may live to regret it. As Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," he said, "truly, Allah is full of bounty to mankind. But most, walakinna akthara nasi la yashkurun, most of men are ungrateful." The tourist thought about it for a moment, and then he recalled an ayah of the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "وَقُلْ لِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ." Say, do deeds. Allah will see your deeds, and so will the messenger and the believers, and you will be brought back to the knower of all things, seen and unseen, and he will inform you about what you used to do. And with that, the tourist dropped the rope in the hole and rescued the jeweler from his fate. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as they gathered beside the hole, all of the beasts, one after another, turned to the tourist and the monkey. He said to him, "My home is here in the forest. If you find yourself visiting this city at any time, stop by the forest so that I may repay with my gratitude." The lion then spoke and he said, "My home is here in the mountains in the distance. Please be sure to call upon me if you ever need my help." And the snake, the same, He said, my home is here in this wall nearby. Be sure to look for me if you ever need my help. And they all left with the jeweler standing by. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَنْ كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَنْ تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُوتِيهِ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِيهِ مِنْهَا وَسَنَجْزِيَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. We focus on this part where Allah says, and whoever desires a reward of ad-dunya, this world, we shall give him of it. And whoever desires a reward of al-akhirah, thawab al-akhirah, nu'tihi minha, we shall give him of it. And thus, the reward is for ash-shakirin, the grateful. Now, we're going to stop here, or pause here rather, to focus on something. Two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says here, this is how the shakirin are rewarded. With what? Thawab al-akhirah. The reward of the akhirah. Why? Because it is lasting. It is better. وَلَآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And the akhirah, the end, is better for you. We remind ourselves of this, inshallah ta'ala, for this reason. Many of us in the dunya, we see the material things in the hands of the kuffar. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us information, then the shaitan rides into our heart on doubt. Why they get all that? Why I gotta struggle? They don't believe in Allah. And the shaitan begins to decorate the dunya for you. You can have this. Just sell a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Ask Allah for forgiveness later. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells you, right here in this ayah, whoever wants the reward of the dunya, from the dunya, we give it to him. The kafir never asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the akhirah. So they don't get it. He never asked them, and even in hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoted as saying to them, didn't you ask me for this? In the dunya? Yes. Didn't I give it to you? Yes. But that's all you had coming. You didn't ask for this. The believers ask for the akhirah. And he says, whoever asks him for the akhirah, he gives them reward from that. So the encouragement with this ayah, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is for us to have long vision. Not to get wrapped up in what's here and fan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Kullu man alayha fan. Everything here will go away. See that big old tall building? Poof, it will be gone. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The face of your Lord will remain. This is what we seek. Because it is lasting. It is not temporary. Whatever you put in your pocket will be taken away from you, guaranteed. Someone else will lay claim to it and they will enjoy it. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are reminded of this by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to yufakir, to think, of where the ufakir, think. Think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, and have faith and hope in His word. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, The tourist and the jeweler stood by the well, and the jeweler, taking the hint from the animals, he said, "Thank you. I appreciate your help. And please stop by my shop in the city should you ever require anything from me." And he left. It was 8 months later that the tourist found himself again in the city. And just as he was passing the forest, he remembered, "Hey, there's a monkey there. Let me go and see if I can collect on that debt." So he went to the forest, and no sooner than he had stepped into its heart, the monkey appeared. And he said, "My friend, as you know, monkeys don't own really anything. But if you wish, I can bring you any fruit that you desire." He said, "Well, whatever you think is best." He said, "You know, our favorite are bananas and coconuts. Maybe you have another favorite. Let me see what's available and what's good." And so he took off. And soon he came back with all types of ripe fruit, from bananas, pineapples, apples, coconuts, and others. At the prime of their ripeness, beautifully sweet, the tourists feasted, and soon after thanked the monkey, saying his debt was repaid, and parted his company. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Holy Quran, "Hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan?" Is there any reward for good other than good? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the tourist found his way to the mountains, calling upon the lion. And it was not soon, or rather it was not long after he had arrived there, that the lion welcomed him. "Assalamu alaikum. You have saved my life and I will never forget it. Please, have a seat. Wait here while I go and fetch something to show you my gratitude." أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, now the lion had previously escaped when he was younger from the king of that village. The reason being that the king, and specifically his daughter, the princess, found much joy in torturing him and his mother. When he escaped, he vowed that one day he would repay their evil. And so now he saw an opportunity not only to get revenge, but to benefit someone in the process. So he snuck into the palace, crept into the chamber of the princess, and before she had time to scream, pounced upon her, killing her with one stroke. Thereafter, he collected all of her jewels and returned to the tourist saying, "Take these as a sign of my gratitude." The tourist thanked the lion, telling him that his debt was paid, and then went to the wall where the snake had said he would live. She would live, pardon me. The snake said, "Look, the best I can do for you now, since you are a photographer, is call all of my friends among the serpents. And they being of rare kinds and species, you can take photographs of them. And that may show yourself as being valuable. So he did so. Once done, she said, look, I still feel I owe you. So if you ever need me, anyone harms you, or you need me to come to your aid, I will bite anyone that you want me to. And trust me, my poison is very, very potent. So he thanked her. And once he left her, he said, you know, if this is the way that the animals repay me, then what can I expect from the jeweler? So he went to the shop of the jeweler, carrying with him the jewels that the lion had given him. And he said, look, I was just passing by, and I thought that I would call upon you. The jeweler said, oh, by all means, come in. And he took him into his home. And he said, what is it that I can do for you? At that, the tourist produced the jewels, all of them rare and beyond compare. Immediately, the jeweler recognized them, because he was the one who had crafted them for the king. And an evil thought seized his mind, and he told the tourist, oh, you know, have a seat. Wait right here while I go and fetch you something special. No sooner than the tourist had relaxed than the guards from the palace came in and seized him, with the jeweler standing by pointing, saying, yes, that is your man. He is the one who killed the princess and seized her jewels. No amount of pleas of innocence or mercy prevented the guards from dragging the tourist all the way to the palace, where he was sentenced to execution by crucifixion. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, and when we bestow our grace upon a man, he turns away and becomes arrogant, far away from the right path. But when evil touches him, he finds himself lamenting and in great despair. The cries of the tourists, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, finally reached the ears of the serpent. So she made her way into the palace. And she thought the best way to rescue him was to bite the prince. And so she did, unleashing the fury of her venom upon him, leaving him helpless and near death. When the king came in and found the prince clinging to life, all he could do was whisper to him, saying, someone told me that you have imprisoned and condemned an innocent man to death, and he is the only one that can cure me. Before the king could reach the dungeon, the serpent had found the tourist and gave him the herbs for which the antidote could be extracted from, and told him, look, when they come to you looking for the antidote, secure your freedom first. Thus I will have repaid my debt to you. It wasn't long before the king stormed into the dungeon, drew a sword from one of the guards and put it at the neck of the tourist, and he said, the antidote now. And the tourist reminded him, oh, your majesty, if I die, surely your son will die as well. The rage of the king subsided, and the tourist went on to speak, saying, your majesty, I am innocent. I did not kill your daughter, nor steal her jewels. I am not asking for any reward, only my freedom. If you promise to free me, I promise to heal your son. The king agreed, and he gave him the herbs. No sooner than the prince had taken them, he was healed. And the king decided he would open the gate for the tourist himself. So he went to the dungeon, and he told him, look, I am freeing you. But I'm curious, how did you come to have the jewels of my daughter?" And so the tourist told him the whole story. And he ended with that, "Look, this man, this jeweler, he sought to endear himself to you by betraying and backstabbing me." So the king apologized, and he in fact rewarded the jewels of his daughter to the tourist, and thus he secured his riches and his freedom. The jeweler was not so lucky. The king ordered that he be arrested, and he was crucified the following day. Thus, the scholars use this as a cautionary tale, ending with the famous saying, "Whoever digs a grave for his brother is bound to be buried within it." Just as Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, "But the evil trap, وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ." And the evil trap only springs upon the one who laid it. This is Quran. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you of this again as I remind myself. These methods that people use for success are not the manners of the Muslim. We do not seek to gain fortune on the back of our Muslim brother's misfortune. And for that matter, we have to remind ourselves of what Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said himself, that your brotherhood, or rather every child of Adam, is your brother. Every child of Adam is your brother, and you must treat him as such. Because if he is not your brother in faith, he is your brother in humanity. So we don't double deal, backstab, or grave dig for anybody. Because we know that لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for me, it's looking for me just as much as I'm looking for it. It's on the hunt for me to find me to obey Allah's decree just as much as I am searching for it. And there is no better risk than the one that has obtained halal. I remind you of this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, that the worst type of gain to be had is on the misfortune of someone else. Whether you had initiated that misfortune or whether you are benefiting from it. So someone who is gambling and they have a sickness, they should not find you selling the lottery ticket. Someone who's an alcoholic and they have yet to beat that problem, they should not find your store with the alcohol readily available for them. This is not the Muslim. لا تفسدوا في الأرض. Do not establish the fasad, the evil on earth. That is what Allah commands us as Muslim. That is what we are expected to be amongst the ummatun of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ummatun wasata, the one that is risen up as an example. This is how you should be. We cannot help, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, to be suspect when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows we're not following what He revealed. We cannot hope to gain respect as long as we are doing those things and benefiting from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. What is forbidden for the Muslim is forbidden for everybody. Period. Oh, I sell it, but I don't eat it. And you shouldn't be selling it. Period. There's no middle ground. There's no other way to look at it if you're a Muslim. I am not to benefit from the sickness nor the ignorance of my fellow human being. Well, they're Kafir. They don't know they shouldn't eat pork, but you know they shouldn't eat pork. So you shouldn't be selling it to them. They don't know no better about alcohol. You know better about alcohol. You should know that that makes them the bedfellow of the shaitan. You shouldn't sell it to them. The sin has wide implications for the one who does it and the one who helps do it. So as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about the alcohol, the one who grows it. Wait, first, one who plants it. He planted it to do this. That is his intention. And grows it, and cultivates it, and stamps on the grapes, and bottles it, and sells it, and transports it, and drink it. Everybody gets the sin. With anything. It's not just with the alcohol. So you don't want to be no link in that chain as a Muslim. And yes, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this society, it is very difficult to avoid that. You have to have iman, and you have to strengthen it with ilm, with knowledge. So I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. If we show our gratitude, if for nothing else, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are Muslim. We know what's coming. We could be just like the kafir, don't know and don't care. That could be us, it's not. Shouldn't we be grateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to be in Jumu'ah. And many of the kuffar, they think it's just another Friday. Oh, thank God it's Friday. Let's go sin. But we're making du'a. We're making salah. We're answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should not we then be grateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to have a clean, spacious masjid. And many of our Muslim brothers and sisters in many other places around the world are in fear of just being known as a Muslim or suspected of being Muslim, because it may mean their life. That is not our case here. Should not we then be grateful? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the houses of Allah have rights upon us. They have a rights upon our person and our wealth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, I have purchased from the believers what? Their wealth and their selves. لِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. And repaid it with what they could never imagine. Paradise. So that is his right. We remind you of this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we remind ourselves, because it is a great, great ni'mah to sacrifice and build and maintain the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We encourage you for this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and encourage you towards the good. Because again, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and promises, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for good other than good? Give, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Invest. Purify your wealth in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not regret it. And bi'idhnillah ta'ala, may Allah save us from being in any type of transaction that we may be tempted by the shaitan to benefit off of another person's misfortune. نعوذ بالله من ذلك. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم. أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.